The Lord be with you.
And your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. The Gospel of the Lord. We always celebrate this memorial, the feast, the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, on the Saturday that follows the Friday of the Sacred Heart. And their positioning, the feast's positioning together, goes back, at least the impetus for the feast goes back a few hundred years. The feast being positioned together is much more recent, but it is, I would say, exactly the right thing. It gives us some sense of what we are celebrating today, which gives us already kind of like a built-in exhortation for what we are, what we're meant to be doing, what we're meant to be receiving as a result of our celebration of the feast. So, you know, we have the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and as I was saying yesterday, you know, our hearts are meant to beat with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the human heart that still beats for us. Here we have the Immaculate Heart of Mary, right? Whose heart beat most in sync with Jesus's in the whole history of the world? It's Mary's. And so we have encouragement in this feast. Our hearts are supposed to beat with Mary's. And we get some sense of say, what our hearts are to look like as well. We understand that. Look at the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is what our hearts are supposed to be. We're just like Jesus, incarnated, made flesh, the love of God. He was God made flesh. So too, we're to make God's love flesh as well. It's a great calling. There are great demands that accompany the graces that we receive in order to rise to that challenge. Now, the same with Mary. Yeah, we see what it means to be about God's work in the world, and it's a little more difficult than we otherwise expect or imagine. We think of the heart of Mary, right? And we're right to think of purity. We're right to think of her devotion. We're right to think of the greatness of her love. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we fail to remember the troubles that she suffered, what she herself endured. I mean, for those of you who are parents, understand what perhaps a little bit more what it would have been like to be at the foot of the cross, right? As Jesus's mother, that leaves a mark, right? That leaves a mark. And I think that sometimes our pious reflections don't honor that, and they should. And we see, you know, from the very beginning of the story, right? We see here Jesus, 12 years old, lost in Jerusalem, as it were, or actually lost. He doesn't think he's lost, but he's left in Jerusalem, let's say. He's left in Jerusalem. And, you know, at the beginning of their journey, it's like, okay, well, they didn't feel the need to check around. I mean, they're traveling with a great group of their relatives, of their kinsmen. And, you know, surely he's in the caravan somewhere. But looking around, they realize that he's not. They're in a desperate hurry to get back. Because Jerusalem, I mean, it's, I don't know, you won't want your kid lost in New York City, right? You wouldn't want your kid lost in New York City in the 80s. You know, and you wouldn't, and you, You wouldn't want your kid lost in Jerusalem in first century Israel. It's not a good place. I mean, there are plenty of opportunities for things to go bad there. And they're in a desperate hurry to get back. So we think of the weight on Mary's heart there. And we think of, coming back, her keeping all these things, her meditating on them in her heart. But we remember already we've been to Jerusalem in the Gospel of Luke, where Mary, it's said from Simeon that her heart is to be pierced. Yeah, and I think that this is then, as we reflect on the pierced heart of Mary, in a sense, not like the sacred heart, the piercing, right? But the pierced heart of Mary, swords, sorrows, right? These are all associated with Mary. We know that we're going to make our way in the world also with the burden of sorrow. And if sorrow only comes to us because that's the burden of love, then so be it, right? So it's even like we recognize, of course, the past couple of days where we can imagine that God is, in fact, pleased. We're certainly celebrating in our country a turn towards justice, right? The overturning of Roe v. Wade. It's a significant mark of progress for us as it relates to our honoring the dignity of human life, but also this is a mixed celebration, because we recognize at the same time that a lot of people are suffering, and it's ours to carry those heavy hearts. Even in the midst of celebration, we realize that our celebration is tinged with sorrow, but there's much work to do. And I think that, as you know, this is part of what the passage gives us, is like the elusive Jesus, in a way, like the elusive Jesus. We look for him, we can't find him. We go to the temple, we find him. He gives us a response that we didn't expect, right? He's always doing something that goes just a little bit beyond our understanding. Well, we're pursuing him. And it's no easy feat to pursue Jesus with everything we've got. But this is what it looks like. It's the heart of Mary. It's the heart of Mary that meditates on the things of Jesus all the time, right? That treasures the things of Jesus, that treasures the call, that treasures the pursuit and the finding, and that somehow makes sense in the divine scheme. We don't make sense of hardly anything, right? But Jesus is going to make sense of it for us as we pursue him, as we seek him, as we find him. So we can be encouraged today that certainly the plan of God is advancing, but we recognize that the plan of God advances also in sorrow. In as much as we're made to love, we're made to carry the burdens of the people around us. We're made to make those burdens light. That certainly would have been the sweet love and the encounter that anyone would have had with Mary, and if our hearts beat with the same love, then God can and will still work wonders through us.